The passage we'll be reading and hearing from this morning is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And since that this passage comes right in the middle of a thought, it'll be good to remember that the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who were tempted to go back to the law to try to demonstrate their righteousness by obeying the law. And in last week's message, which was an encouragement to the Jews and an encouragement to us, that we are to remember that our righteousness is because of the work of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. And we pick up reading then in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 5, thinking then back on Jesus Christ, our great high priest, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And Father, thank you that you have made the provision for our great high priest, and Lord, having come to him in faith, having been born again by the Spirit, having been given to us as residing in us to bring us into fellowship with you, we just pray that our walk with you will be increasingly one of having been tried and tested, having invested ourselves well in your word, and having you demonstrate your faithfulness through growing us into that stronger, more vibrant Christian walk. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Tom said, today's passage does kind of begin right in the middle of a thought. We ended last week having just discussed some of the very basic reasons why the high priesthood of Jesus Christ is better than the high priesthood of the Jewish faith. And the author today in our passage actually takes another little bit of a detour. A detour from the subject matter to expose the third danger that we find in the book of Hebrews. And it is the danger that has now led to the author having to review so much of this basic information that his readers should have already known. They should have understood this. And the danger that we come to this morning is the danger of degeneracy. Or dullness, as my translation says it. Yours might have, I can't remember what the other word is. The NIV has, is it slow? What is it? Slow of hearing? But anyway, what is it?
Dull.
Okay, dull. All right, that's what I've got here, but dull. Anyway, a couple different words used there. But it is the danger of degeneracy or dullness. And just to give it to you straight, that word dull or slow in verse 11 is the author's way of being very bold toward his readers. Because that word in the original language actually means lazy or even stupid. Really. Okay, now I don't believe he was trying to insult their intelligence, because verse 11 also says they had become that way. It's not that they can't understand, it's that they were being lazy about it. They were being stupid about it, complacent, careless. And as a result, rather than having grown in understanding, in faith and maturity, they were reverting back to the mentality of babies in that area. It's one thing for a baby to be like a baby, but it's quite another for an adult, okay? One who should know better to act like a baby. There's a humorous greeting card I read. It said, You're only young once, but you can be immature forever. And while I see the humor in that, and that sometimes I do see myself as being childish, that's also a sad state, because there are people that are adults, they're old, but boy, they are immature. What if you and I took that to a whole new level, right? What if you and I, out of laziness, took this to a whole new level? What if we decided, you know, we are done. We are done with this adult thing. Forget it. Forget it. I am sick and tired. Starting tonight, no more getting out of bed in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. I'm strapping a diaper on, all right? Out of laziness. Come morning, unless somebody dresses me, I'm staying in PJs. Period. I'm done with it. And then instead of working for a living, I'm just going to cry, and I'm going to scream, and I'm going to throw a tantrum until someone gives me what I want. If you and I, out of laziness, chose to do that, not only would that be pathetic, not only would that be sad, but it would probably smell in here this morning. All right, think about that. All right. Well, as ridiculous as that sounds, okay, it is equally ridiculous to remain a babe in Christ. God doesn't want us to stay immature as little babies. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to grow strong, to be mature men and women who can be used of Him and used well for His glory. The first danger that we encountered in this book or this letter to the Hebrews was the danger of drifting from God. The second was the danger of doubting or disbelieving Him. And the third is the danger of degeneracy. And therefore, our subject this morning is the danger of degeneracy. But if you look in your bulletins, I've affectionately called it, "Don't be a baby." Don't be a baby, from Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 11 through 14. And so that we would not degenerate or stay as babes or immature in Christ, we're going to look at this morning the deficiencies and some failures of those who did. It's interesting that the author is going to liken spiritual maturity to physical maturity, because just like our physical maturity depends upon our mind being educated, our bodies being nourished and exercised, that is exactly what our spirit needs as well to grow and mature. And again, in our passage, the author gives us this likeness really to show us why these Hebrew believers were not growing as they ought. And the very first deficiency was laziness in education. Laziness in education. Now, I have to confess to you this morning an area in which I am lazy. All right? I cannot cook by choice. By choice, I cannot cook. Out of laziness, I can throw some meat on the grill. I mean, if Janine prepares it, she marinates it, she puts the spices on, I can throw it on fire. That I can do. All right? I can pour a mean bowl of cereal. And in a crisis situation, I have been known to boil some water for noodles. But other than that, I know almost nothing about cooking. Those of you that were at men's breakfast yesterday can attest to that. In fact, Janine, it's only been a few weeks ago, she was multitasking. She was cooking and doing something else, and she was making us this awesome-looking omelet. And she was doing something else. She says, "Craig, it needs to be flipped. Will you flip it?" And I'm like, "Well, how?" And she says, "Just take that spatula, get it under there, and flip it over." And I'm like, "It's going to fall apart. I'm not going to be able to do it." And, well, by the time we were done, we had scrambled eggs. Yes, my name is Craig Jansen, and I am a cuisine crybaby, all right? Well, we've already talked about that word dull or slow and the fact that it means lazy or stupid or careless and complacent. But verse 11 describes what these were being lazy in. Look at it again. It says, of whom we have much to say, and Tom already told, we're talking about the high priesthood of Christ. But he says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. All right? Lazy in hearing, lazy in learning, lazy in education. The author says that because they'd become lazy in this regard, he now had to explain or re-explain the basics of Christ as a superior high priest and re-explain this order of Melchizedek. These being Jews should have already understood much of this. They should have already understood why the priesthood of Jesus Christ is greater than the priesthood of the Jewish faith or of Aaron. This was basic, but they were lazy. Lazy in their learning, lazy in their education. And this, first of all, makes it very difficult for the teacher. He says it's hard to explain. Why? Because they're lazy in learning. It makes it difficult for the teacher. A teacher cannot force information into the mind of a student. He therefore has to take that vital information and try to teach it or reteach it from varying perspectives in hopes that some of it will breach that dullness, that somehow this critical information will penetrate and cause them to mature. There have been a number of times in the time that I've been in ministry that I've been approached by a believer who just, they were in this situation. Okay, they had become lazy in learning, but I've been approached by them with a basic question, a very basic question, that I just happened to address in great detail only a few Sundays earlier. Had they been there, right? Had they been there, the question wouldn't be there. They would have known. Now, I got to tell you, I don't mind reteaching. I love teaching. I love to do that. But it's more difficult. It's more difficult when you have someone who is lazy in learning. Laziness in education is difficult for the teacher, but worse yet, it's degenerating for the student. Now, in verse 11, some translations say these are slow to learn. But the word are actually speaks of the current state as compared to where they came from or where they should be. Other translations use the words have become, again describing that this is not, or they have not always been dull of hearing. There was a point in time when the truth excited them. And over time, though, they became lazy. Why? Well, I do not believe that the dangers listed in the book of Hebrews are in some kind of coincidental order. Okay, I think there's a bit of an order to them on purpose. These, first of all, the first danger was the danger of drifting. They had drifted from God. They had drifted from other believers, from a fellowship, which led to the next danger. They began to doubt God because they wanted to do what they wanted to do. In fact, in some cases, not only did they drift from the Lord and drift from fellowship, but they drifted back into what they had just been saved out of. And they began to doubt God. And this led now to this dullness toward the truth of God. And they became lazy in their education. It is difficult for a teacher, but degenerating for the student. They, though looking like grown-ups, were degenerating back to the mentality of babies. Which leads us to the second deficiency. And that is limits in experience. Self-imposed limits in experience. And likening limits and experience to limits and nutrition, the author says this in verses 12 and 13. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And for those of you younger generation, we're not talking about a pretty young lady here. All right, they have become infants, crying little infants. Infants are inexperienced, but time should cure that, especially when opportunity for experience is abundant. Jarlene Talley is 114 years old this month. Now, she's not part of our congregation. She's a woman from the Detroit area, but she is one of only a few living people in the world that were born in the 1800s. She is currently the third oldest person in the world, the second oldest woman in the world, and the oldest person in the United States. She and her family were part of a Detroit community that was specifically settled for the original workers of Ford Motor Company. When Ford Motor Company came in, they had this community specifically for their employees. That's where she was. That's where she grew up. That's where she lived. All right, surrounded by Ford Motor Company. But in 114 years of life, most of that time being surrounded by the automobile industry, Jarlene has driven a car only one time in her entire life. And while I understand that, you know, that is that the experience of driving is not abundant everywhere in the world, it is, in fact, not driving is an oddity in this country. And then looking at her background and where she was raised, it is a real oddity, a very grown-up adult with cars surrounding her life, but still experientially a babe in that area. Well, these in our passage, just like Jarlene, had every opportunity and an abundance of time to gain experience in God's Word. They were Hebrews, Jews, the people through which God gave His Word. But they were still just inexperienced infants. Our passage says they were of the age of maturity. It says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. These were not newborn baby Christians. These were believers who had been around a while. Milk is for baby Christians. It really is. It's a good thing. In fact, 1 Peter 2:2 encourages newborn babes to desire the pure milk of the word that they may grow thereby. But that's not who these were. They were not newborn babes in Christ. These were grown men and women who because of their deficiency, were still sucking on bottles, so to speak. It says they ought to have been teachers. They'd been around long enough that they should have been those who could teach real baby Christians the truths of God's Word. Now, not every believer is gifted in the area of teaching. However, every believer is called to be able to teach. Paul spoke to Pastor Timothy in his first letter, 1 Timothy 3:2. One of the marks, he says, of a mature believer is they are able to teach, meaning they have, through ambition and desire, learned themselves enough to become able to pass that information on to others. That is where these should have been. However, they needed to be retaught the basics, the first principles or elementary truths of verse 12. Are referring to the basic fundamentals of God's Word or oracles, as mine calls it. the absolute core basic doctrines of God, of Christ, of salvation that make everything else understandable. It's like what the alphabet or ABCs is to reading and writing. They needed to be retaught the ABCs of salvation. It says, you have come to need milk and not solid food. They needed to be treated like babies. Look at verse 13 again. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, there is kind of a two-part understanding to verse 13. One actually pertains to real baby Christians. He's stating a fact here. These are those who are truly unskilled, unacquainted, unaccustomed to the Word of God, meaning they are truly and understandably inexperienced in it. The author refers to the teachings of righteousness. Okay, a real baby Christian may understand that through the person and work of Jesus Christ, he is declared righteous before God and has eternal life. But he may not understand all how that comes together, why that all exists, okay? They are by nature inexperienced in the word of righteousness. That's one understanding pertaining to real baby Christians. He's stating a fact. The other understanding pertains to retarded baby Christians, to put it boldly. This is what I mean by that. While the author implies that real baby Christians do need milk to grow, those that continue to drink only milk, though by this time they ought to be teachers, they are still unskilled, unacquainted, and unaccustomed to the Word of God, meaning they are still inexperienced with it. They shouldn't be. They, by their degeneracy, were retarded baby Christians in their understanding, needing to be treated as such. In case you haven't noticed, the author of Hebrews is not holding back at all. His deep concerns about those who were tempted to not grow, or worse yet, go backwards in their walk with the Lord rather than maturing. This is a critical teaching. It is important. Our inheritance, our reward in the kingdom of heaven depends upon our maturing in Christ. These were lazy in education, limited in their experience, again, all by choice. And then the last deficiency is lacking in exercise. Lacking in exercise. On December 23rd, 1972, Richard Kinect of Prospect, Oregon, set out to shatter the existing world sit-up record. For the previous 6 months, a Marine Corps captain had held the record with an amazing 17,007 sit-ups. 17,007 sit-ups. Richard Kinect was determined to capture that title, not only for himself, but for his family. Actually, what they did for a living was they toured the country, giving demonstrations of physical fitness and how to stay physically fit. So Richard set out. In fact, they were in Idaho Falls, Idaho, when he decided to try to break the record. And 11 hours and 14 minutes later, he shattered the record with 25,222 sit-ups. How many years of training do you think it would take for a guy to get to that point? That is amazing. Well, people can be mature in an area a lot sooner than you might think, because Richard was 8 years old when he did it. 8 years old. He was just not afraid to exercise. He was not lazy. The best way to become skilled in an area is to practice, to train, to exercise. And maturing may not take as long as you think. Listen to verse 14. It says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If we are pursuing, perceiving, practicing the Word of God, we are maturing. Verse 14 directly tells us where their deficiency came from. It comes from a lack of use. Improper diet, laziness in education. But indirectly, from verse 14, it also describes what makes a believer mature. By implication, we learn that, or of full age. This is what believers ought to pursue, practice, and perceive. And in a sense, it kind of recaps everything that we've looked at this morning. It kind of concludes it. First of all, the maturing believer pursues God's word. These were not doing that. They were not doing that. The mature pursue it by eating solid food. The solid food of the Word of God. Not drinking, but eating. Unlike physical food, the Word of God is eaten with our eyes and our ears as we take it in, as we read it, as we study it, as we sit under its teaching. We must not be lazy in this. Jeremiah 15:16, the prophet said, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." He devoured the word of God. Psalm 119:103 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." The maturing believer pursues God's word. We must not be lazy in this. The maturing believer practices God's word. These were not doing that. The mature practice it by using it in their lives, constantly living it out with their lives and speaking it out with their mouths. They teach it. They defend it. They share it with others. There is perhaps no better way to grow up spiritually. No better way to mature than to take what we have learned from God's word and use it in our lives. Share it with others. Take opportunities to defend our faith. Some of you have shared with me opportunities that you have had to share your faith. Instances where God put you in a situation that presented that opportunity to defend or share it. It may have been an uncomfortable situation, but exercise always is, isn't it? It's never, that's not comfortable. Sitting on the couch is comfortable. But you took it. You took that opportunity. Some of you have shared that with me. That is a sign of maturity. That is a great thing. That is God honoring. That is not what a baby would do. The mature are able to teach, and they do so with both their actions and their words. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." We must not be lazy in this. And then thirdly, the maturing believer perceives God's word. These were not doing that. Babies, immature children, are easily tricked. They can't discern good from evil all the time. They can be tricked. They can be deceived. Such were these the author was writing to. They had trusted Christ for salvation, but because of degeneracy were now being fooled and tempted to revert back into what they had just been saved out of. Or I should say, saved out of quite some time earlier. The mature believer perceives God's word because they are educated. They have experienced that they have exercised it. And now they are educated. They then are able to discern both good and evil when they see it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, it says that we should grow in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we going to accomplish that anytime in our life? No, it ain't going to happen in this life. But in other words, from this day to the day we die, we need to be maturing, growing in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." We must not be lazy in this. Maturity requires exercising all three: that pursuit of God's word, the practice of God's word, and the perception of God's word. And the reason one remains immature is simply through his laziness in those areas. And while you and I may feel at times like we can do some growing up, and rightfully we should feel that way. In fact, at men's breakfast yesterday, that came up. In fact, I think it was Ed Risto that said, you know, it seems like the more I grow up in the Lord, the further I see I need to go. That is a good thing to realize. That is a good thing to realize. It is only those who do that are truly used of God. And in the wise words of one of the great philosophers of our time, of recent times, Forrest Gump, said, "Stupid is as stupid does." Meaning, a person is only as stupid as the stupid things that they do. But indirectly, it also teaches us the contrast. You see, maturity is as maturity does. Meaning, a person is as mature as the things they do. That's good news for you and I. Don't be a baby. If we pursue scriptural education, experience, and exercise, we will grow up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but rather grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you once again for another very sobering passage of Scripture. Lord, it is so easy to be lazy. Too easy to be lazy, because all we have to do to be lazy is nothing. So, Father, I pray that through this passage today, and through a better understanding, perhaps through this passage today, of the fact that you want us to mature, that we would grow in the faith and knowledge of God. Lord, I pray that we would yield to that Spirit that is inside of us, that is daily, hourly beckoning us to do so, to grow. And Lord, I pray that we would yield to Him. And again, just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to sing our praises to you. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. And I pray that it would indeed penetrate our heart this morning, revealing it to us, revealing our heart to us in the way that you see it, that we might be transformed by your word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.